DW Africa Link.
Sunlight, wind, water. Africa has all these sources of renewable energy in abundance. Unlike fossil fuels, which can run out, renewable energy sources are constantly being renewed by nature. So, why is the continent still struggling to invest in renewable energy sources? What challenges remain, and what are the investment opportunities? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The latest off-grid solar market trends report 2024 revealed that 685 million people lack electricity globally. That's alarming, isn't it? But despite that, off-grid solar is expected to power 41% of these populations by 2030. This is a beacon of hope in the fight against energy poverty. The report is the work of the World Bank's Energy Sector Management Assistance Program, that's ESMAP, and GOGLA, the Global Association for the Off-Grid Solar Energy Industry. So, how are African countries positioning themselves for this? Joining me now is Sarah Malm, the Executive Director of GOGLA, the Global Association for the Off-Grid Solar Energy Industry. Also here with us is DW correspondent in Johannesburg, Tuzo Kumalo. Welcome to the program, lady and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Sarah, let me set the ball rolling with you, because you and others have come up with this latest report regarding energy. Focusing on the African continent, what are the key highlights from your latest report?
We are releasing the market trends report. And I think the biggest takeaway is that we are losing the race to get people affordable, reliable energy access in Africa. For the first time, population growth is outpacing the efforts to provide energy access. So still about 685 million people are left without the economic opportunity and the dignity that comes with access to energy. That's the big takeaway.
So we're talking about more like almost 700 million people on the African continent. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
I mean, how is that even possible? How did we get here?
We got here because a lot of populations are in hard to reach communities. And a lot of communities do not have the ability to pay for products. And the power infrastructure in a lot of countries is usually concentrated around the urban areas. So there hasn't been grid expansion and the completion of large power projects. I know that my South African colleague can probably speak to this as well. There certainly has been progress in large-scale renewables in Africa, absolutely. In South Africa, in Kenya, for example, but large portions of the population are either in hard-to-reach communities or they just don't have access to the grid because they can't afford it, or they live in weak grid conditions, which we like, which we call like intermittency, weak grid, or we say in South Africa, load shedding, where the electricity doesn't just, it just doesn't, it isn't stable.
Right. Which is why you and others vouch for tapping into the renewable energy sources, which, need I remind you or anybody else, Africa has loads of it. We have all the sun, all the water, all the heat, all the wind. And yet, tell me now where we are at when it comes to Africa and renewable energy.
Well, I'm going to focus a little bit on the off-grid market because that's where the report really takes a focused look. And what we have found that to reach people with basic electricity, about 53% will come from the grid. This is between 2022 and 2030. About 53% is going to come from the grid. And about 44% has to come from off-grid solar products. And about 2 to 3% from mini grids. So we have a good handle on what the energy mix is going to look like to reach people in the next, you know, 6 years with energy access. The grids are not going to get extended in the next 6 years. There'll be some improvement. But really, to reach people, we have to use a mix of technologies that includes grid, off-grid, and mini grids to reach people with energy access.
Right. So for those listening who may be a bit thrown away with the use of grid, when you say on-grid, off-grid, what exactly do we mean?
Sure. So those big wires coming into your house that come from a substation that has a big power plant somewhere, hopefully renewable in your community, you know, you're paying the utility for electricity. You're on the grid. When you're off the grid and you have a solar home system, you own a product or rent a product that is using solar panels to generate electricity. So you are not connected to a regulated grid. You are essentially producing your own electricity. And mini grids come somewhere in the middle where they are regulated. They are usually better served in peri-rural, you know, so for larger populations, maybe for higher uses. So for mid-level size industry to really power larger equipment, a mini grid would be much better served. The technology in off-grid systems is improving. It is very good for things like cooling. It's good for agriculture, solar pumps, and of course, charging a phone, providing light, TV, access to information. That an off-grid system can do very, very well.
Wow, that's good. It's at least good to hear from you that there is an improvement when we talk about off-grid energy, in this case, talking about renewable energy, whether it's solar or water, whichever be the case. We're going to continue with that in a bit, but let me go to Tuzo Kumalo, our correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa. And Tuzo, I mean, I've been reporting on South Africa for a while, you even more. We know the country has issues with power. Tell me, how bad is it?
For 15 years now, we've been having very serious issues of power. I mean, people spending up to 8 hours without power. Industries have closed, especially small businesses that cannot afford it. But surprisingly, towards the election, which was in May here, things started to change when President Ramaphosa appointed Energy Minister Ramahupa. He started spinning things around. Power load shedding vanished bit by bit in pieces. And now, 5 months after the election, we have not heard what they call load shedding. They've dissected that into two. There is load shedding and there is what they call load reduction, which is done just to control, to avoid the grid bursting or just developing complications. So in essence, the load shedding that we experienced over the years has just vanished in the past 5 years. What we have now are municipalities controlling that. So that has become better. But still, despite that it has become better, it has not been better to people who have not, like our guest said, have not been able to access the grid because it's expensive or because the lines are not in their areas. But in terms of us having this energy is coming back, and now there is talk of the renewable energy to try and cover that gap, because already there is a backlog with Eskom. Although there's no outright load shedding, there is still shortage. There is still breakage down of machine plants, utility plants. So they still need to bring more onto the grid, hence the call for renewable energy.
Right. The call has been going on also for a while now. Where are we at when it comes to South Africa and its investment in renewable energy?
South Africa is doing quite a lot for now on the ground. The country has crafted the integrated resource plan and the South African Renewable Energy Master Plan that guides it on which stage and what amount should they be having and how many players should they be coming in. So that plan is in place as we speak right now. But if you listen to the Minister of Energy, Ramakgopa, he says, for South Africa to reach its goal, that is 2050, having all the energy renewable energy systems in place, they will need about 1.5 billion rands, which is about 78 million euro. That's quite a big 1.5 trillion, not billion, 1.5 trillion rands. So that's quite a large amount considering South Africa's economic status at the moment. But the plan is there. We have got associations that have been formed, like we've got the Solar PV Industry Association that looks at all those who want to produce solar, want to come into play, what should be done, the licensing systems. Then we've got the Association of the South African Wind Energy Association that's looking at those that are coming from wind. So the systems are now in place, but the taking off part of it is what is slow. They are not contributing much onto the grid currently, but we hope that since South Africa is focusing at 2050 as its ultimate goal, when it should finish its decarbonization commitments, by that time, we should be having a reasonable amount coming from these renewable energy players.
Well, I guess it's a situation of fingers crossed to see if it actually happens, because as you say, Tuzo, it's normally sometimes a lot of talk, but the action is not as much. Let me come to you, Sarah, because again, just to remind people that are listening, we talk about renewable energy. We're basically talking about, in a way, being off the grid, meaning not tapping into the sort of national structure of providing electricity or energy. So by renewable energy, we're also talking about the energy that you get from the sun, you get from the water, you get from the earth and the ground. But it sounds pretty straightforward. If you look at the African continent, almost every country has more than enough sun to go around, right? Compared to Europe or the US or other countries. So why is it that complicated to have renewable energy?
So I've got a view on this, and I'm gonna speak a little bit more broadly than just off-grid, to say absolutely Africa has all the natural resources to be energy independent and to get its energy from renewable sources. I think there are two reasons. One, simply put, political will and investment. National governments need to have the political will to work across ministries to develop integrated energy plans that include the right energy mix, that include off-grid, that include renewables, but also to set in place the regulatory frameworks that attract investment, and to work with, you know, public finance to get de-risking mechanisms that lower the cost of capital to really support companies, particularly in the off-grid sector. What we need there are support to companies who are at the front lines of delivering goods and services. So we're kind of talking about two different markets. One in the larger energy landscape, I think it still demands political will and investment. And specific to off-grid, it's really about working with these companies to make sure that they are commercially successful and that they're able to deliver on these really ambitious energy access goals.
Right, right. So clearly, challenges remain. There are those that think about all the sun that we have, right? For instance, I'm from Ghana, and the house that I live in, if I wanted to basically just purchase solar panels and somehow make sure I'm tapping into, you know, the energy from the sun, how complicated would it be for me?
It would not be complicated for you to purchase panels. I think the question is, would you know, you'd want to have them to be off-grid or to supplement the grid. I think some of the challenges in the marketplace are around the labor and the maintenance that is required to install. So I think it's nothing more than going out and making that purchasing decision, getting them installed and maintaining them. It's quite simple.
Tuzo, let me come to you on this. I could bet my last dime that you're not investing in renewable energy. I'm sure you're still on the grid and paying the government every month money, Tuzo. But give me an idea of how widespread the understanding for ordinary South Africans is regarding, you know, tapping into the renewable energy that's available.
Let me put it into two spaces. We've got this law movement in government here in South Africa is mainly caused by disagreements on how fast we should replace coal energy with the renewable energy. It is because South Africa has for years depended on this, and it has created economies and created towns and industries around production of coal and coal energy. So unions have said to the government, you can't move this fast because you'll displace these workers. You need time to skill them. You need time to find them new jobs. So you can't move at that fast speed that you want to move. And even within the government itself, we have other ministers saying, South Africa is going to be stuck with coal for a long time because even countries like Germany, they still rely on that. This is the example that they give to say we can't move this fast. One, our guest is very right. Yes, in terms of financial muscle is also a problem. In terms of resources, also a problem. But there's also this political front where the government can't move as fast as it wants, as it would need to do, because of the economies that will be destroyed when the new energy comes in, according to the assessments that have been made. But let me come to ordinary South Africans. For an ordinary South Africa, I didn't calculate it in euro, but for a simple household, for you to get renewable energy here in South Africa, you need the companies that give you quotations will tell you between 100,000 to 200,000 rands, you can get just a good connection for all your applications in the house. So I'm saying that figure to an ordinary South African is very difficult. Unemployment rate is over 30%. 16 million people here in South Africa rely on government grants, meaning they are in that poverty level. So not many South Africans will afford that. So that's affordability becomes the problem. Yes, you can buy one solar panel, put it there, but maybe it will pick up the lights only or your phone charging. But for a system that picks up everything that makes you independent from the national grid, you'll need that chunk of amount.
At the end of the day, it's all about the money, isn't it, Sarah? I mean, in your report, you talk about investment opportunities in solar energy or off-grid solar, but then you also talk about investment gaps, right?
Yes.
What is needed to fill these investment gaps?
Well, it's a big number. And I'll start with just getting kind of basic electricity to people. The Market Trends Report says that about $21 billion US dollars is needed by 2030 to achieve universal access to basic electricity. That we're looking at the off-grid sector. So that is six times more that is currently invested in the industry. And of that, about 40% needs to come in grants or subsidies or what we call de-risking instruments, so lowering the cost of capital. So right now, the public sector commits about 12% to the off-grid industry. So the off-grid industry is about a $400 million a year industry right now, and it needs six times that investment per year by 2030 to do its part in achieving universal access.
And where's that money going to come from?
That so 40%+ is really on the backs of the public sector, because there are so many communities that are really cannot afford these products at all. So there is a commercial market out there, right? Like there are people that can buy these products, and that's an exchange, a market exchange. But there are so many people who cannot afford these products. So where do national governments step in? They step in with policies that really support companies and support access to these marginalized and hard to reach communities. You look at the big MDBs, you know, the World Banks, the philanthropies, programs like Power Africa from the US coming in with grants, with financing mechanisms. And then you look at tools like VATs and tariffs. You know, the industry needs a supportive policy environment to allow it to sell these products at affordable, cost-efficient, low-cost offerings to communities. So it's going to really take a combination.
As we're saying, in terms of renewable energy, there's still a lot more room to just the basic, you know, sun, wind, water. This is basically what we're talking about that is in abundance on the African continent, and a lot more investment is needed to make sure that people are basically having affordable sources of energy, particularly renewable energy. This is, I think, where we will wrap this up. Sarah Malm, the Executive Director of GOGLA, Global Association for the Off-Grid Solar Energy Industry, also DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa, Tuzo Kumalo. Thank you very much, guys, for making the time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak.
So how are other African countries embracing renewable energy? Ghana, for example, has made notable strides, particularly in solar and wind power. The government has installed a vast solar energy array on one of its water reservoirs, which boosts renewable energy output. The project can also protect aquatic life from overheating. Joining me is Maximilian Kwating, renewable energy expert and analyst in Ghana. Hello, Max. Thanks for joining me. So Ghana seems to be slowly embracing renewable energy initiatives and investments. Give me a nutshell of how that's going.
Ghana has a very stern focus when it comes to renewable. And it's generally because we have the resource and we have the land space and what it takes to do, except that the challenge has been with the financing. Currently, if you look at the energy outlook of the country is doing about total of about 5,600 megawatts. That's the actual installed capacity. About 2.3% of this is from renewables. And that is translating into, in terms of the actual installed capacity in megawatt, that's about 132 megawatts. So about 2.3% of the grid connected infrastructure, that is what is connected to the grid, is renewables. And okay, that's a mix of other technologies, solar and biomass and other viable technology and waste to energy. If I may highlight, when you come to the renewable space, for example, the viable within Ghana is solar. And the segments within solar are classified into three. We have the C&I, that is the commercial and industrial. We have the utility scale, that is the very big projects, the megawatt projects, and we have the domestic. But focusing on this, we are just looking at what is to the grid, and that is currently about 132 megawatts.
Okay. So what does this tell us? Is because we want to focus a bit on the renewable energy space. So in terms of the renewable energy space, how advanced is Ghana compared to other African countries?
Well, Ghana, if you look at our current national document, for example, and that is the latest, is the Energy Transition and Energy Investment Plan document. A lot of focus, the decarbonization agenda of the country was focused to integrate a lot of renewables and also clean energy. The focus for the energy transition, for example, is looking at a total of 83 gigawatts by the end of 2070. So the net zero target is to 2070, and we are looking at a total of 83 gigawatt, and 83 gigawatt essentially is 83,000 megawatt. That is huge amount of integrating renewables into the national energy infrastructure.
What are ordinary Ghanaians saying about all of this? How are ordinary Ghanaians embracing themselves, you know, into the renewable energy flow, so to speak?
All right. So if you hit to the street of Kumasi, Accra, anytime there's an escalation in electricity tariffs, the ordinary person says, we have the sun just wasting away. Why are we not utilizing the sun to generate energy? And so the ordinary Ghanaian sees that these renewables and, solar, for example, is somehow one of the solutions.
That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabi, with special assistance from Isaac Kaleji. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.